Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 80. Big 8-0. We're in the midst of playoff baseball, and we're presented by Parse Rum.
There you go. That a boy.
By Parse Rum, which I love, you love, we all love. Zach loves playing golf, but you know what he loves more? Parse Rum.
That's right.
I gave a bottle away to one of my best friends the other day. Loved it.
That's weird. You didn't give me a bottle. You said it was your best friend. I didn't get a bottle from you.
Read the room, man. Maybe. I don't know.
Come on. Hey, you ain't got to lie to kick it. Come on now.
Dakota, I appreciate you repping our former, not current sponsor, Manscaped. So we'll give them a quick shout out, but not until they know free ads more episodes.
It's like my go-to shirt if I'm doing nothing. And that's pretty much every day. So I wear it quite a bit.
Zach, who's ran away?
Zach? Dude. I'm Zach. Watching McClanahan right now. Ian, have you ever faced him?
No.
On the Rays? I mean, it's disgusting. He just gave a homer to Devers, but it's disgusting. Sorry, what were you going to ask, Zach?
I was going to ask Zach two things. One, do you ever shower after you play golf?
I just walked in the door.
And two is,
he's so
how far did you drive to play golf today?
An hour.
Was it worth it?
No, I played like shit. Absolute shit. And it's kind of been progressively since I got home. Started out well, and it's just not good right now.
Have you been playing every day? Good for you.
Yeah.
Do you think
Huh?
You think you could beat J.R. Smith's 81 that he put up in his first collegiate outing?
I would like to think so. He had some good shots.
Yeah, they put a little video together with all of his good shots. I don't know where his bad ones were, but
he was throwing some darts.
They showed a couple of videos.
Have you played at all?
I've played a little bit. I played a couple rounds.
And?
I played decent one round, pretty bad the other one, but the golf course is just so hard.
Yeah. Where are you? Are you in Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you
playing the world's hardest golf course every day?
You getting good games in or what?
Yeah, we had a good game.
Have you been?
Sunday morning, I lost $1. But we had a good game. We had a good game Sunday morning. We played a five-man left-right center with Hammer, and it was pretty good. I was down pretty decent going into 16. Won 16, equaled 17, which was huge. And then tied 18.
Dakota, are you still pure or what?
Oh, I've played really bad since I came back. We had a golf outing on Saturday. I've been so bad, but I drank a lot, so it was okay.
Yeah.
No, I drank a lot of water.
What a parsley.
No, I tell you what, man, you realize you're getting old when days like that happen. Like, start drinking at like 10 a.m. I was ready for bed by 3 p.m., 3 in the afternoon. I was ready to go to sleep. But I stayed up. Hey, grinding.
Welcome to this guy's world right here.
You're just all you want to do is golf. You don't, nothing else. Your off season, actually, I'd be miserable because that's all you do is golf. You do nothing else.
That's not true.
Zach, what else do you do?
He goes and works out and hits baseballs for like 10 hours a day too.
No.
Tell you what I haven't done. I haven't started working out yet this off season.
I did.
You've been done for a week. What do you mean?
I just, man.
But I'm just saying, what do you start working out week two?
I want to be great. I want to be great. Maybe some of us want to be great.
I said I did start working out.
I know. Give your body a minute to fucking relax. Yeah,
I had a lot of minutes to sit and reflect.
We got to talk about playoff baseball.
Can we please touch on it? There were some crazy plays last night. Give me your thoughts. Let's start with your thoughts.
My blood was boiling over that Red Sox call.
I don't get I don't think you can be mad because I think it was the right call.
I know.
There's nothing else. You can't call anything else. You can't call a home run. Like it wasn't intentional. So you can't like give him more run. Like, I don't know. There's nothing you can do. It's like, it's literally a ground rule double.
But like he got rewarded for misplaying a ball off the wall.
Yes.
But it's a one in a million play.
And that literally could have sent him to the ALCS.
True. But it's not like he picked the ball up and went, oh yeah, I can make sure this guy doesn't score by booting it out. I
totally agree. But like, where is the umpire's discretion to be like, hey man, that guy needs to score. He was on third base as soon as when that ball hit the ground.
You just give him the, hey, like we think just because the play was weird, like they should get a run. So
imagine like
one guy scored.
The umpires go to Alex Cora. Alex, man, we got to let him score.
We can't.
You know why? I guess I'm more used to that rule because at Wrigley, the ball in the ivy is very real. And so there's a lot of times when a guy from first would score, but as the outfielder running for the ball, you let it hit the wall. Even sometimes when you could cut it off, like the guys who've played there for a while and know what's going on situationally, like you let that ball roll into the ivy, hoping that it sticks so that guy doesn't score.
Of course. Maybe I'm like,
just used to that.
I just think if the ball hits off the player, regardless intentional or not,
it should be like two bases.
Yeah, it goes out of play. Like that's like a kicker and kicking the ball out of bounds on accident off the kickoff, and you get him to the 40-yard line. It's like, I didn't mean to do it. It hit the ground and rolled out. I didn't mean to do that.
I don't know if those are the same thing, but
yes, it is.
I see what you're saying. I just feel like there's nothing you could do. Like if you could show that if by any way he intentionally did that, send them all home. Like
I'm not saying
get an extra five runs thrown in there.
Right. But I'm not saying intentionally either though. Like I just don't think they should get rewarded after a ball hit him and went out of play.
But it's just like Hap said. It's just like Hap. But it's the same thing as like just a normal ground rule double. Like why do you get
It doesn't hit off a player.
You get rewarded for having a short fence, basically.
But like it doesn't it didn't hit off a player on a normal ground rule double.
But it's the same as a dude throwing a ball away and it like meandering around and rolling into a dugout, and you're like, oh, but this guy would have scored, but he doesn't. He only gets one base.
Exactly.
I mean, there's nothing you can do about it.
Can we talk about Yasmani Grandal running into that ball?
That one was more crazy to me because you're sitting there in the announcers. I think it was Pierzynski on the call, and he goes, well, the baseline is whatever the runner establishes. I'm like, there's no way that's real because the base runner can what, run in the grass? Just, oh, this is where I want to run, so this is where I'm running.
So there is a rule that you have up to 3 feet in either direction to establish a baseline. So like if you're on first and there's a ground ball to the first baseman, you can actually cut in onto the grass and run to second. You have to establish the baseline and then run straight, but you can do it. Now, I've seen guys establish absurd baselines and it feels like there's nowhere to make a throw, but it's not the same home to first because they call that all the time. If there's a bunt and the guy is not even on purpose, just trying to be as fast as he can and running in the grass or even like 1 foot on the foul line, they call him out all the time.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the same thing as like a drop strike three and the runner's running like, you know, outside of the baseline, like wherever he's like trying to read the first baseman, like sway that way to try to get hit in the, like you, people that also say like Grandal wasn't trying to do that. I'm like, come on, like you're not running. Like,
it was literally like,
boop. Yeah. I mean, I was shocked. That was just nothing. It's like, nope. Like, sorry. It's just run scores.
And you saw the umpire Tom Hallion say to Dusty Baker, he was kind of just like, I can't do anything. It's like, I'm sorry.
I don't know why you can't do anything. What do you mean?
Why can't you call interference? Like he's inside the baseline.
One of the things that I think
you have to throw around the runner.
That's not true. There's literally two white lines. There's two white lines that you have to run between down to
first. Yeah, I think that's at the 45 foot mark though.
That's what they were saying last night. Yeah, it's like once you get to the 45. Or
the 45 foot mark, but once you get to the 45 foot mark, then everything is off. You have to stay in those bit. You have to go in there.
But up
in that, remember when Trey Turner in the 2019 World Series got called out for that?
Yeah.
I'm saying that's a dumb rule then if that's true, because then you could literally bunt the ball and take, like, you could fucking run towards a pitcher's mound. Who cares? Like, then you just cut straight back.
3 feet though.
Yeah, still 3 feet. And then what? What if I start throwing a hand up and I knock it down?
Is that legal? You can't do that.
He stuck his arm out. What do you mean then?
I agree.
He definitely went like, boop.
That's totally
agree. I was like, so if you can't intentionally do it, then he still should have been out.
I totally agree. But I'm saying to the running part of it.
I do wish that there was like some sort of review board or something that just get the play right.
Just get it right.
Because we had some this year. Every team has plays throughout the year that they go, how could you not get that right? Even if the rule tells you, like, I can't review it or I can't do this. Just get the play right. That's all anybody wants. Anybody just wants it to be right.
It's like the this is a little off topic. It's like the what game was it? That Seahawks Rams game, the double punt. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, that was wild.
There's no way that's legal. He was past the line of scrimmage on the second kick.
All the announcer was just like, yeah.
That's one of those. It's like Ian saying, though, it's like there's gotta be some governing body that's like, no, like this, you're wrong. Like, this is the correct call. Like, if in case like the guys on the field don't know like the rule, you got to have something. Like the White Sox one didn't decide the game. I mean, it sure factored because it was back and forth, and that helped them kind of break it open. Not really break it open, but take a lead. The Red Sox Rays one actually like probably lost the Rays the game.
Literally, dude.
Like, yeah, I was gonna like quite literally lost them the game.
That's wild, man.
How about? Can we move on to the other games? Do you see Jock's homer today?
Yeah, that was pretty sick. Pinch
Jock's
hit.
3 for 3 in the playoffs.
You see what bat he
used? Two homers and a single.
Did you see it? I saw a tweet. You see what bat he used?
He used Tony's bat.
Anthony Rizzo.
Jock's hilarious because he's such a bat whore. He has everybody's weapons.
KB's a bat whore too, isn't he?
Yeah, but he doesn't really like other guys' bats. He just gets a lot of his own bats.
Speaking of KB, how about KB starting and like kind of sitting in the outfield during the playoffs?
What do you mean?
Like, I'm just like, he's just like almost like a primarily outfielder now. It's just crazy. Oh. I know he played outfield a lot with you guys, but like he started in center the other day, switched to left. It's kind of just crazy.
Those guys have a great infield.
That's what you have Longoria and Belt that have to play the corners.
Right. No, I know. I'm just saying it's kind of crazy to see.
Yeah.
Roman center field in the playoffs.
Well, he's just he's versatile.
He's versatile. I think it'll help him this offseason too. But I've been surprised. I don't know if surprised is the right word, but the Brewers pitching has been as good as the Brewers pitching has been. Like, it's been good. The Braves haven't scored a lot of runs, but I've been surprised that the Brewers haven't scored. Like, they've scored 2 runs in 3 games.
I haven't really paid attention to the NL games too much, as much as the AL. But I thought the Brewers – did I say that? I don't even remember what I said, the Brewers or the Braves.
Well, the timing's tough, too. Like, that Dodgers-Giants series, it stinks. It's so late. Like, they don't even – what's the first pitch tonight, 10?
9:37, I think.
Like, what am I going to do with that?
That's past my bedtime.
That's the best matchup of the DSs. Like, that's the best one. It's at 9:37, yeah.
I'd like to throw out Brandon Belt definitely has a broken hand, is not playing. And I was thinking about that when you said Belt and Longoria. Brandon Belt broke his hand like that last week of the season. Wilmer Flores has been playing first.
That is true. Wilmer Flores has been hitting second. Play.
Zach loves him.
I did love him. When he was
Zach, how about your boy? Game two, your boy.
I got a few tweets when he did that too, and I was like, yeah.
Eventually, you're going to have to meet him and like.
I talked to him this year at second base when we played each other.
Like, little, hey man, not in a weird way, but I love you.
Little did he know that I was just like talking to my hero.
Yeah.
Hey man,
That's who you dream of being one day, literally. KJ Hernandez.
Hey, man, everything you do on the field, I would love to do.
Let's do – can we do a review of our brackets so we know how you bad just, we're doing? Because I think we
all – throw mine in the trash.
Yeah.
My Super Bowl champ lost in the wild card.
I got something about the wild card, too. I'm off the one-game playoff.
I said it today, too. I'm off the one-game playoff.
That needs to be three games.
It has to be. You can't decide. You cannot decide baseball in one game. And when you have teams that are winning 105 games, when you have teams that are like as hot as the Cardinals were, and you play like as hard as you play in September, if you're the Yankees, to get into that game, it's absolutely ridiculous that you only let them play one game and they're out.
That was so – the perfect person that I would imagine for the Dodgers getting that wall, like Chris Taylor just seems like a guy that like in the postseason is going to have big hits. They said beforehand, like he was whatever, super cold going into that at bat. I forget what the numbers was. And then he just hits a bomb. And I was like, oh, it's about right.
All bets are off.
What do you guys got for the Yankees, Phil Nevin sending Aaron Judge? Do you hate it? Love it?
Oh, on the ball off the wall from Stanton?
Yeah.
That's a tough
– Stanton's got to get in the gym, man. Two wall balls? Come on.
That's a tough play because it's – I think he was – I can't remember if it was the center fielder. Somebody played it really well. I think – was it
– Okay. He got it in and got it out. Yeah.
So he – but he also like kind of came out of nowhere where it was – it looked like – it might rattle around and he just played it so perfect. Obviously like those guys have all played at Fenway so much, like the third base coach knows Fenway really well, but it was such a perfect relay. And yeah, it's like second and third with would have been second, third, one out, second, third.
Yeah. One out with Gallo up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, you really do have to make two perfect throws, which they did. But
see, I got no problem with sending him.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think either. You know how many fuck ups are in those relay throws one way or another? Like Xander had to pick that throw perfectly as well. That was the tough part.
Yes, he had to pick it perfect and throw a strike. And the number of times that it gets fucked up at the dish too. Yes. And their catcher is really, really good defensively, but like
incredible, right?
Number of times it gets fucked up at the dish too.
Absurd. What was it? The Astros against the Yankees. Remember when they threw it, when Didi threw it to Gary Sanchez and Altuve would have been out by like 20, like legitimately 20 feet and just dropped it. And it's, that shit happens. Obviously you're not banking on it, but
that's right. Like I like the aggressiveness. If you're going to go down aggressively. Cause if you don't send them there, you have momentum, but get the next few guys out and no one scores. It's like, oh, like you got to be more aggressive than that. Like this is a one game series. Like you can't sit back on your, like, that's all you'd hear is like, why didn't they send him?
Gallo's liable for a punch out there. And then you're in a spot where you got two outs, second and third. Next guy gets out. It's over. And I like the send because it would have been a 3-2 game there if he scores. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then nobody says a thing.
I don't hate it at all, but I would like to put on record that I am now in favor of, after playing in it last year and then watching the one game again, 3-game wild card. Book it. Thank you.
I agree. I bet it happens too. I just like, especially the Giants, like you said, the Giants winning 105 games and going into the bottom of the ninth with a tie game. And they were, you know, they could have been out like Dodgers. That. Winning. Sorry. What'd I say?
Giants.
Yeah, sorry. When they were out, they were close to losing and being eliminated with 105 wins after one game.
Yeah, I think you would have got a great 3-game series out of Cardinals Dodgers too.
Yeah.
And it also, and then if the team is dominant, it gives them the advantage of the off day if they can win it in two games as opposed to playing three.
Right. I agree.
And I like the idea. Last thing, I like the idea of the whoever has the better record getting all three home games. So you're not traveling. It's like, fuck you. We had the better record. You're coming to us. We're getting the gate for 3 games. It's going to be 3 games of mayhem at our home park.
Correct.
Let's get our playoff. bracket that stunk.
Ian has no points. Ian got both wildcard games incorrect. Dakota got one.
What an idiot.
Dakota got 1 point. He had the Dodgers over the Cardinals. Zach also got 1 point. He had Dodgers over Cardinals. Nobody got both games correct. And obviously all the series are still going on as we record this Monday night. This Red Sox Rays series may be over by the time people hear this. But so right now in that series, it's Ian has the Rays, Zach has the Rays, and Dakota has the Yankees, who I can
you think the go Yankees are going to win?
I can confirm the Yankees are not going to win that series.
Okay. And I think I had the Rays going all the way, so that kind of fucks me. What were the other two, three?
Zach had the Rays also, but he has a Houston San Francisco World Series.
And Houston's looking shaky. Sox are coming.
Did I have Houston over Yankees?
You have the Sox beating the Astros. So, and then you have Rays over White Sox.
Jeez, Ian, you might go 0-for in the AL.
Woof. There's a possibility.
Be all right, Ethan. Or,
Ian. What did I have in the NL?
Atlanta over Milwaukee, Giants over St. Louis. So you have Giants over Tampa Bay in your final. So you have the Giants. So you just need the Giants to win. You're still alive.
I could be kind of clean in the NL. I could have the Giants in there.
Dakota's already lost his champions. I don't know where he gets his confidence talking like he has anything. They're already
because Ian's about to lose his whole half of the bracket, and the Giants are going to lose to the Dodgers anyway. So there goes his. The only hope he's got is who do you pick, Brewers or Braves?
He picked Atlanta.
Oh, looking good there, though. There you go.
Zach looks really good right now.
Giants Dodgers is 1-1. Scherz balls is going to get lit up today, and you got Alex Wood with the revenge game. We'd love to see it.
You going to stay up and watch that game, Ian?
Nah.
Freaking West Coast, man. What a joke. Who would live out there?
East Coast, best coast. That's what they say, right?
East Coast, beast coast.
What's up, everybody? It's producer Tom. Let's step aside and talk for a moment about our sponsor, DraftKings. Another week of the NFL season means another big shot to win big at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Football League. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. In case you're wondering, the last 0-0 tie in the NFL, that was in 1943, so I'd say this is a no-brainer. If the sportsbook isn't yet available in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions in dollars of total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code COMPOUND. That's promo code COMPOUND to throw down $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code COMPOUND this week at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager require. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now, back to the show.
Any other playoff thoughts from you guys right now?
Yankees got robbed.
Favorite single game performance, Kyle Schwarber. How about, do you see Schwarb with the ground ball and the fist pump? That was pretty good.
That was, does he have the yips?
Easy.
I've never played first
base. I'm not afraid before, to say the yips. The only thing, only way the yips can affect you is if you give it value. I give it no value.
I don't know. I'm saying.
Did you see that first flip? He's got the
yips. Just to come out and say, wow, does he have the yips?
I mean.
Imagine not playing a position your entire life. Ian.
This is an underhand flip from 5 feet. That's nothing to do with position. I could do it a million times in a row and I'm not missing.
You got to see if the research team can find, there was a fly ball. This was 2018, I want to say. Could have been 17. But I think it was 18. There was a fly ball to left field. It was early in the season. It was a terrible, terrible day at Wrigley. Kyle Schwarber calls the ball in left field. It literally lands on the dirt, and he picked it up and he tried to diving flip it underhand, flipped it into right field. It was the most amazing play I've ever seen. But imagine not playing a position for your entire life, trying to learn it in 2 months, and then starting in the postseason in one of the craziest postseason venues in baseball. It's like,
Zach,
somebody's got to tell him, though. Somebody's got to tell him, like, hey, man, the second baseman's right behind you. Just run over to first base. Because both of those plays, the second baseman's standing there ready to field it.
Zach, have you ever played first base in your professional career?
Professionally, no.
Could you make an underhand flip from 5 feet?
Guys,
to a pitcher?
Guy is a...
I'm talking Yankee Stadium. It's a zoo. Sleep. I don't care.
Not the same.
It's an under. I love Schwarber. I'm not even like, I'm not trying to shit on Schwarber.
You are shitting on him and you said he had the yips. That's crazy.
I mean, it's an underhand flip. You have to have the yips. Did you see it? It was like,
hey, that is our first friend of the pod and you were just shitting on him.
The reason I think he does is because he does make a good one, and even the good one looked like, like, you know what I mean? Like a little shaky.
Yeah.
And then it was on the money. I'm just, Zach could walk out there right now. He could literally
hit an Oppo homer
flip. Ian, or Zach, you walk on the field right now and you make that flip at Fenway in those clothes. It doesn't even matter. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, it doesn't matter. He can do whatever he wants because he's hitting Oppo homers off over the monster.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not shitting on him. I'm just saying
you are.
That it's got to be you the are. Hips.
Watching that wild card game and watching Rizzo and Schwarb go deep was awesome.
Yeah, that was sick.
I was fired up.
That was awesome. That was cool. Did you talk to them at all after?
I haven't talked to Schwarb. I talked to Riz.
What'd he say?
Actually, I will call Riz out. I sent him a very nice text message after they lost. I waited to like half hour to an hour so that hopefully his phone would be clear of all the texts. And I sent him a very nice message about the end of the season, and he didn't text me back, which was
That's interesting. It's a shame when it happens to you, huh?
I'm not going to lie to you. I want to pile on here, but I was looking at the TV, and I didn't even hear what was being said.
He texted Rizzo after they lost, and he didn't answer him, and he's upset about it, and –
yeah, which, hey, now he knows what it feels like, at least.
I said, huh, that's interesting.
Huh. Been there a couple times.
Ask if I feel bad.
Is that so? Zach, who's your favorite player been to watch in the postseason?
KK.
Besides him. I mean, it's got to be KK. The dude's been on fire.
I always feel like Devers is going to hit a homer when he's up.
Bro. The swings that he takes are unbelievable.
Dude, Randy Rosarena, though.
Yeah.
Something about the postseason, man. He stole home. He straight up just stole home.
Stole home.
Like, not, no, like, freak thing. Like, he just said, nope, I'm stealing home.
Dude, and he stole it. Did you hear the story about him when he got COVID? He had to quarantine and he just did like 300 pushups a day and made chicken and rice for every meal.
That's amazing.
And got absolutely shredded for 10 days.
Well, I was going to say it worked. Look at him.
He's already absolutely shredded.
That's going to be crazy if they lose tonight that they're just done. After they were, I mean, they locked up the division one of the earliest, right?
It was basically over because they were like 10 games up for the last month.
Right. Do you, as a rep for the union, I'm not saying hope that they lose, but it'll throw a wrench in their not paying guys philosophy. Will you enjoy that?
I think that it's in some ways it would be good for baseball. It's good for baseball for them to be competitive.
Yep.
But in some ways it's good for baseball that they get there and don't win.
I agree. It sucks that just their fan base is, are they moving or like what is the deal with that?
You know, Brett Phillips made a really good point. Brett Phillips made a really good point about it because he's from that area. And he said they're an expansion team like the Diamondbacks. and they haven't been around that long. So the first generation of kids that grew up as Rays fans or D-back fans are now becoming, you know, 20 to 30 year olds who can buy tickets and raise their kids as fans. And I don't know that there's the attendance is showing that, but one of his points was like, hey, I know that it's been slow and tough and maybe the stadium's not in the best place and maybe we need a new stadium, but the fan base in Tampa is growing. There is a, you know, there is a generation of fans coming.
One of the ideas they've mentioned is playing half their games in Montreal. What would that be like as a player? I mean, if you guys played, they'd basically have no home. They'd be half their home games in Montreal, half them in Tampa Bay. And that seems like something that might really happen, or at least they're trying to make it happen.
Actually?
Yeah, their president has come out and said that they're going to do that. They were going to have a sign during playoff games saying, like, coming to Montreal soon, and they had to, like, MLB, I think, mixed it because that was going to be a bad look.
I saw that, yeah. Wow.
I think, I mean, being in Montreal in the summer would be cool. I think that Canada...
No way. That's the...
Having to, you know, it would be really hard on players.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're never home. What, do it's you hard enough in both places.
Yeah, it's hard enough now. This is not gonna go. This can't sound well.
I know exactly what you're gonna talk about.
It can't sound right. And no, I don't. It's not like there's no sympathy for this, but it is difficult to have like a home and a place where you work home. So like maintaining, so like having to have three places, like having to have an off season home for 4 months, Arizona for 2 months, Tampa for 3 months, Montreal for 3 months. Like that's,
you honestly,
I know what you mean. Like it's like, oh, that must suck having three house, but it's like,
that sounds worse than what I thought you were going to say.
But imagine having a wife and kids and trying to do that. It's like, all right, like where are we sending the wife and kids to while we go on the road?
And the other part of that is when you're in Tampa and Montreal for 3 months each, you're actually only there for a month and a half. So really you're only getting, cause you're on the road for the other month and a half. So you're only getting 6 weeks in each of those cities. So it would be a very difficult as a player or staff. Like it would be very difficult thing.
Crazy.
I think in theory it's cool. I think in practice it's probably pretty tough. I think Montreal in the summer would be beautiful and awesome. And getting to play all the cold weather games in Tampa would probably be great too. But in theory, that sounds very difficult unless the team like has housing for everybody or something.
How nice would that be for you if you didn't have to play your cold last games in Chicago?
If we had a dome for 2 months or I'd be so happy.
Honestly,
just keep us at Sloan for 2 months.
I'm kind of surprised that teams like that they didn't make it mandatory to have domes or retractable roofs. It is so cold in some games.
Well, it's not like the one that it blows my mind is when somebody builds a new, like I get it. Wrigley Field is Wrigley Field and there's never going to be another one and you just deal with it. If you're building a new field in Minnesota, Target Field, how do you not have a dome?
Yeah. Yeah, anywhere in the Midwest, dude. I'm sorry.
Why are you whispering so the owners don't hear you?
So that the people that love Target Field don't get mad at me.
And it's a cool field, but not for Minneapolis, Minnesota, when it's 30 degrees the first month and the last month of the season.
It's a beautiful field. It's just like –
it's really nice.
You will never, as a team, you will never, ever be able to get the best players in baseball to come play there because – if a guy has an option of five cities and one of them is a place where he's going to freeze his ass off for 3 months, it's like, why the fuck would you do that? It sounds horrible.
Yeah, because, but money, because, I mean, money talks. Look at New York. New York's not warm.
Because my checks are clearing. That's
yeah,
why.
It's like, yeah, like but, it's not warm yes, in New York.
Correct. But New York, it's summer by June or May. Same with Boston. Like, it's not the – Zach knows it's not the same as Detroit. Like, if you're in Detroit and it's
Detroit's a beautiful city. Don't you dare. It's in the best state we have of this country.
If it's May 15th in Detroit and you're going on the road to New York, you're not like, oh, fuck, I'm going to freeze. But if it's May 15th and you're playing a home game in Detroit, you're like, God damn it. It's going to be 35 degrees maybe today or 50.
Yeah.
I'm lucky. Like,
well, you have to deal with the wind more than we did.
Yeah. But if you're a John Lester or you're a, you know, in a normal free agent market, and I like what we've had in the last 3 years, but in a normal free agent market, and you have five teams that are willing to pay you an absurd amount of money, like the difference of like, then that means Minnesota has to go outbid teams by a significant chunk to get guys. And they're not a big enough market to go do that three or four different times. Like New York is a big enough market and to go out and overpay for three or four guys, because that's what they do.
Minnesota is also crazy because they went from having a dome to not having it. I mean,
that's what I don't understand. I just think the retractable roof, yeah, it's going to be a few extra million. But at that point, why not?
But look at how good the teams were when they had the Metrodome.
You think those go hand in hand?
I think it's part of the equation when you're looking at putting together a new team. I think a lot of that talent was homegrown, and they had Justin Morneau and Maurer and Johan Santana and Liriano and those dudes. But I'm saying now when they try to put a team back together with some homegrown talent and free agents, like, who else has signed there besides Josh Donaldson in the last?
Right. I mean, they have fucking.
Nelson Cruz did, and he rakes, but they've had some good teams. But what I'm saying is, it's such a beautiful stadium. It's just a shame they don't have a roof.
Do you think the cafeteria and the chef comes with how beautiful the stadium is?
Oof. I think
that is the best food in the history. I mean, of the 10 places I went, my word.
They do a great job. The Atlanta is really, really good, but Minnesota does a good job. I don't know how we got on this topic, but I know that there was something else I was going for before we got here on a rant about Minnesota Stadium.
You were talking about Rays and Brett Phillips, and I brought up Montreal, possibility of them splitting time.
That's how we got there, because I was trying to ask you who your favorite performance was in the postseason so far.
Yes, that was the root of that.
I don't know if I have a specific player. Who's yours? If you've watched,
My favorite's been Jock. I've really loved what Schwarb has done, but I can't. Jock's literally this is kind of fucked, because like they told Jock like towards the end of the year like he wasn't gonna play. It's basically like hey man, you're down, because they went at the deadline. You know, they traded for him before the deadline. He's playing every day. He's hitting the top of the order, and then they trade for some other outfielders, and then they get. And then he's only playing against righties, and then they get to the end of the season. Like, hey, you're not. Yeah, he didn't play for the last 2 weeks, really, except for pinch hitting.
Right.
And a start here and there. They go in the postseason, like, hey, you're not playing. You're coming off the bench. So he comes off the bench. He's 3-for-3 with two homers and a single, and like throwing homer today to win the game. Like, and he's the type of dude that would keep such a good attitude through that. He's got his blonde dyed hair. He's wearing chains. He's doing his skit. He's using Rizzo's bat. Like, what an awesome teammate, and to see him actually have success after that. But that's a very tough conversation to have, especially when you're going into free agency again after signing a 1 year deal. Like, good for him.
That is sick. You can make some money in the postseason, man. Hey, what have you done for me lately?
Fuck yeah. Make yourself a lot of money in the postseason. And he's got a good postseason track record. All he does in the postseason is hit homers.
No, exactly. And it's, you know, they remember, they will pay for it.
I would like to speak with five GMs and get thoughts on what Daniel Murphy was worth before that playoffs and then what he was worth after.
That's so cool to think about.
Like,
that's so true.
Murph made himself a ton of money. Not that he was a great player. He had a great career. He was going to get paid by somebody, but not that much. And then he, you know, had just the most ridiculous postseason anybody's ever seen.
What, he had six straight homers? Six games?
Yeah, and they were all off fucking aces.
Aces, too. That was in, what, 2015, right?
Yeah. I also have a theory. This is the last thing before we do screen tap. I also have a theory that relievers in the postseason make themselves a lot of money, but then they just get so, like, they literally throw every day for a month and are so dead that they can't throw the night. So like relievers that make, now it's, there's cases where this doesn't happen, but like for the most part, relievers that just have an unbelievable postseason and then are a free agent, some team goes out and pays and is like, this dude's going to be our closer. And then it's just like, you get a shell of a human because they've just been so blown out by the postseason. Postseason is so hard on pitchers. Oh,
speaking of relievers, could you imagine picking between Liam Hendricks and or Craig Kimbrell?
Give Kimbrell the ninth.
What Ian was saying though, I like when Brandon Morrow threw seven games in the World Series, wasn't it the World Series? Like, I don't think people realize how hard that is to do. Like, it's not like, oh, like you could do it like because it's a World Series. It's like, no, like I don't think you could, like, it's not easy. Like, you seven, I mean, what do they have? Probably two off days in there. 7 out of 9 days in the World Series. So it's like, you can't go in there and try to just like get some ground balls. It's like, you got to have your A stuff because he's throwing in like big spots every time. And it's impressive.
And like those to get yourself ready for those games when you're at like 5, 6, 7, there's legal drugs. Like there's, you know, enough anti-inflammatories to get you out there. Then there's whether it's energy drinks or some sort of concoction of that and the adrenaline, like everything that you put in to get yourself to that spot so that you can do it that many times. And then you hit the off season, your body goes, and try to be the same guy after that. And like Lester talked about game 7 of the World Series and what that did to him physically, having to come back, having to come out of the pen, having to warm up for, he was like in the pen for 3 innings and then coming out and actually pitching, and like what that did to his body for the rest of his career. Like things like that, that people don't really, like for position players, the postseason's actually easier because you get more off days. You get more time in between. Like you're used in the regular season, you're used to playing every day. Maybe you get an off day or two every 2 weeks. Like in the postseason for a 70-game series, you get two off days. Like you feel great as a position player. Yeah, you have the season, but like with the adrenaline and with the, you know, you're good pitchers, it is brutal.
Well, that's the other thing too. It's like you may not like get hurt while you're throwing, yeah. But like say your elbow's sore one day, so then you compensate, like subconsciously you compensate and use more of your shoulder. Next thing you know, you're going into the next year. Oh, you have inflammation in your labrum. It's like, oh, my labrum doesn't, like you wouldn't have even expected it, but like it builds up over time.
And you have a short, so then you throw longer, you have a shorter time to rest before you have to ramp back up for the next year on top of the added stress that you had at the end. And it's a recipe for disaster. So that's my theory on pitchers and specifically relievers in the postseason. Let's do screen time. I love Parse. You love Parse. When I say Parse, you say
Rom.
Rom. There's a lot of sports on, man. All right, I'm distracted right now. There's a football also, game on. You know I love football.
I had some quick update for the people before we do screen time. I had some extra When I Say Parse, You Say Rom shirts at Wrigley. So I gave them back to Obvious, and they're going to do a giveaway. So be on the lookout for that. If you're somebody who likes Parse Rom and Obvious shirts and the Compound Pod.
Which if you're listening to this, I'm guessing that means you do.
Yes, you might.
6 hours, 2 minutes.
6:33.
Jesus. Guys.
A loser.
4:44.
Hour behind us for real this time. Nice.
I would like to implement a new thing to screen time. What is your most used app today? Go.
Messages. Oh, mine's
gotta be TikTok.
Mine was messages today.
5:17 from Tom. Had a baby.
Wait, no, sorry. Mine was 5 hours and 8 minutes.
Yeah, sure. No, really, we believe
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no. Now, yeah.
Oh, what was yesterday? What was yesterday? Holy shit.
What was yesterday? This doesn't count. It's Sunday.
What was it, though?
What was it?
6 hours and 58 minutes.
No, that's not right. What was it?
No, that bar is too high for that. Most used app, go.
6:34.
Today, messages.
Time?
Yeah, mine too.
56 minutes.
Okay, Zach.
Mine was hour 13 messages.
Oh, you texting Shouty?
Oh.
That's a baby girl.
Mine was an hour 36 on messages.
Oh, cheese and rice.
It's grinding. That's productivity.
Well, that's just networking. Ever heard of it?
Networking. Like, ever heard of it? Hour 22 on the Google Maps. All right. This episode was number 80. It was brought to you by Parse. I love it. You love it. We love it. Go get your Parse at Binny's, and we'll see you next week. Anything else, guys? That's it? All right.
Who you got to win it all?
Giants.
No, you got the Rays. You got the Giants.
Giants over Rays. Giants over Rays.
Zach, who'd you have?
Giants all right, over.
All right, that's episode 80 of the Compound Podcast, brought to you by Parse Rum.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.